What?
You grow up.
No, it's not him. It's the other one. The rabbi does the sander.
What would you like to
the
be?
The rabbi was the sander of this one too.
What would you like to be when you grow up? About. Fireman. No. Policeman. Rosh Hashiva.
Howard. Howard, right?
Mm-hmm. Your permission. Gaon Mevilna says,
actually, this Shabbat is the end of the Torah.
Even though that we have Sefer Devarim, another book, but Sefer Devarim, Moshe was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's an optional book. If Hashem told Moshe, you want to say that? Fine. You don't want to say that? Fine. I will take the mitzvot in Sefer Devarim and spread them around in the four books. And Moshe chose to say Sefer Devarim. And Sefer Devarim, the Gaon Mevilna says, even though it's part of the Torah, the energy and the light of Sefer Devarim is lower. The difference is the whole four chumashim that we have, Hashem said exactly to Moshe what to write. And Moshe listened and wrote. Sefer Devarim, the Shekhinah was talking from Moshe's throat. Hashem did not tell Moshe. And Moshe heard. So called Moshe taught himself. Nevertheless, as well, you should know, it's chas shalom to think the Torah is a story. And according to the Gaon Mevilna, this is parasha, it's the end of the Torah. It ends with a story. The story is that the heads of the families of Shevet Menashe were told that a man by the name of Slofchad had only girls, five girls. And Hashem told, even though boys inherit, but since the person has no boys, the girls get the heritage. And they came to Moshe and said, listen, we have a major problem. After you just told us the Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided to the people that come to Eretz Yisrael, and each tribe with a rattle will have his property. And we are from Shevet Menashe. And we know, at least in our tribe, what's going to happen like this. There's five girls, 40 years old and up. They couldn't find Shiduchim. They're still looking. If they will ever find a Shiduch from another tribe, and the person is going to marry them, he is going to get their territory. What it means is like this. It's going to be islands in our property. But we are Shevet Menashe. And those girls might get married to somebody from a different tribe. And that person comes in the house. And he owns the house. So it means that house is going to belong to another tribe. So we're going to have so-called certain parts in our territory belong to somebody else. So Moshe said, I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said, you're right. Those five girls and any other families, they have only girls, might stick to their own tribe. You cannot just get married to somebody from another tribe. This is the end of the Torah. Batiena, Machla, Noah, Chogla, Melka, Betirza, thank you. Then in Hashim, they got married to their own cousins. It's the end of the Torah. And it's what the significance of that story that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, write this in the Torah. The question is, the Gemara tells us Tu B'Av is coming up. The Gemara says Tu B'Av is one of the things that makes it a major holiday, that the tribes canceled that idea. And they said, no more. Any girl or any boy can marry wherever they want. No more. So what happened? It says in the Torah. says in the Torah you shouldn't, because now you have islands. But the Gemara says, well, they made it because they understood it was meant only for that generation to come to Israel. I says, why? It's the same thing. What does it make? What bothers you? Bothers you that you want to stick to your own tribe. Okay, so now, so a few generations later, we don't know exactly, just I don't know when this decision was made, canceling the, may say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command that girls or boys should stick to their own tribe, cancel. So it's a holiday even. One of the reasons we have to be up is because of that, canceling the restriction. You can marry wherever you want. What happened? The question is, what does it mean exactly? What they're so afraid that they will have islands. Okay, so the guy is a nice guy. He comes from another tribe. Excuse me. Comes to another tribe. Okay, so he doesn't belong to your tribe. Okay, doesn't matter. What does it make? What does it make? Kol Yisrael Achim. What does it make? It's what the Hakamocha. What do you mean? Exclude that person? He cannot come here? Listen, that's his wife. His wife has heritage. She inherited her father's real estate, and he comes, he marries her, so big deal. So he said, no. Moshe said, Hashem said, no. Hashem said, as well, this is Parsha. Those girls are from Shevet Menashe. The Torah tells a story that the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of God, God and Reuben came to Moshe, excuse me. We have to buy a new bed. See, I don't sleep so well. So the tribe of God who came to Moshe and said they don't want to move to Eretz Israel. They said they have a lot of cattle and a lot of sheep, and over there there's a lot of grass, whatever it means. They don't want to move. Dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu, they came to a decision, agreement that those two tribes would go as marines, soldiers in front of Am Israel, and they're going to help them to conquer the Eretz Israel, they're going to go back. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Moshe Rabbeinu calls half of the tribe of Menashe. They know the information exactly which part Moshe Rabbeinu decided. Why did he decide such a thing? To split Shevet Menashe. As you people, you also stay outside of Eretz Israel. You don't go to Israel. Excuse me? No. Half of the tribe of Menashe, you have to stay outside of Eretz Israel. For no reason. As I say in the Torah, no reason, nothing. Nothing. They didn't mean it. They didn't want it. And the Torah will tell you that those people that Moshe decided not to move to Eretz Israel, they went over there and they captured the conquered cities over there in the east side of the Jordan River. They never moved to Israel. Finish. So what happened? Comes the Gemara and says, I won't tell you what happened. Even though, again, the Torah doesn't say that. But the Gemara says. Comes the Gemara and says like this. Look, when the brothers came down to Egypt, when Yosef was there, and the second time, Yosef told Menashe, please put my cup in Binyamin's bed. And we'll see what happened. On Shabbat morning, the brothers left Egypt. And Yosef told Menashe, run, chase them, ask them, what did you do? In the text, Menashe doesn't tell them anything about the cup. He said, this, what happened? So, but they understood, because he hinted something to them. I said, okay, let me search. So Menashe started to search. By Reuben, by Shimon, and then he ended up by Benjamin. He took out the cup. He said, oh, look, man is a thief. Says the Torah, the brothers tore the clothing. We don't know why they tore the clothing, but they tore the clothing. Says the Gemara, since you, Mr. Menashe, indirectly caused for the brothers to tear the clothing, therefore, this is Parsha, you're going to hear that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to call half of the tribe of Menashe and will tell them, can't go to Israel. So what would happen? Your great-grandfather indirectly caused the his uncles, the brothers of Yosef, to tear the clothing, your territory, your real estate is going to be torn. Part of you, you must send his. He says, excuse me, what relationship has tearing clothing with tearing part in Eretz Israel? You can't go to Israel. And besides, listen, but Menashe just did Kibbutz. His father told him, go over there. And he didn't tell them to tear the clothing. Who asked you to tear the clothing? And anyway, soon Yosef is going to give them new garments. And they're going to come back to Egypt, I mean to town, to the city. Yosef is going to read and say, give them new suits. So what's the big deal? What do you mean you tore the clothing? What is that? For this, I can't go to Israel? No, you can't go to Israel. It's a Gemara. That's the only reason in Pshat. Ari has another answer why. But the Gemara says that is, you read the Parashat HaShavua, you see Menashe doesn't go to Israel, so what happened? It's Uncle Menashe, Grandfather Menashe, caused, indirectly, he didn't do nothing. He just told them, hello, where is the thing? What is this? What did you do? They decided to start clothing. I don't understand. What do you want from them? King of Israel. As well, we find something very similar episode about clothing. The Navi tells us that Shaul HaMelech chased David, want to kill him. The Navi describes this Shaul HaMelech got the Satan in his head. So this is the secret of our life, you should know. There's such thing a bad Jew. The only question is how far the Satan goes inside somebody's brain. And the Navi tells us that the first time when somebody went crazy, wants to kill his son-in-law. For no reason. Nothing. What did he do? David didn't do nothing. So there are a lot of chapters in Tehillim that David describes his running away from Shaul. By the way, you know, the Gemara says that one of the chapters David sang to Hashem, chapter 18 in Tehillim, Yom Mitzil to Hashem, אתה לא יודע, תהילים אתה לא יודע מה זה? ביום הציל אותו השם.
איך?
ביום.
הציל אותו השם.
מיד כל אויביו. ומיד שאול. תגמרא says, excuse me, David, what did you say? שאול is bigger צדיק than you. I don't say this sentence. When I read Tehillim, I don't say this sentence. Because the Gemara says that sentence, Hashem screamed at David. Hashem said, what did he say? Hashem saved you, going to sing, Hashem saved you, Shaul. Shaul is bigger tzaddik than you. No, what? He got crazy. That's crazy. And it says an angel went inside him, Ruach Ra'a, and he decided he wants to kill David. Okay. Chasing him in the desert, chasing him here, killing the Kohanim. He says, after him, like who knows what, David is a criminal. The last episode, the Navi says, while David was running away, one time he spotted the Shaul was in another mountain. It was the middle of the night. And David saw and figured out the Shaul is sleeping. He went quietly next to Shaul. And his chief of staff told him, see, you got him. Halacha is, somebody wants to kill you, you're allowed to kill him. Kill him, finished. That's the end of it. David says, you're out of your mind. I'm going to kill the king. Baruch Hashem didn't kill him. I don't know if the Mashiach. So says the Navi, you know, David said, you know what? I will cut the corner of his garment. David cut his corner of his garment and went back to the other side. And stood on the mountain, started to scream, hello, hello, that's how you watch the king. All of you are sleeping. What happened to you people? How do you watch the king? And they got up, and David said, look, you can see. He says, the king's garment was cut. You were sleeping. And I got it in my hand. And I had the chance to kill him. Can you tell it to the king to stop chasing me? You see? I had mercy on him. I didn't kill him. since then finished Shavuot and left home, and the whole chase was stopped. And Baruch Hashem, then Shaul finish his kingdom, that became the king. What? This is in Sefer Shmuel, episode. Sefer Melachim sounds, La Melech David Zaken, Rabbi Yamin. And I'm not here, you can say the lecture. If he comes. David the Melech is old. Raychasu? Velo? Come on, enough. Please. Bravo. Bravo, no? Don't be humble. In Rachim alayhi. So David says David HaMelech was 70 years old and he's shivering. Shivering, they can make him hot. The covering of his clothing doesn't make a difference. Lo. Says the Gemara, what kind of sickness is this? Says the Gemara, tell you what? David HaMelech embarrassed clothing by cutting the corner of the garment of Shaul. He embarrassed clothing. And therefore, the clothing will not help him. Excuse me. I want to tell you something. David cut the garment. It was a privilege for Shaul. It just was just a proof that he, Baruch Hashem, even though the guy wants to kill him, he is not having a grouch in his heart, and he doesn't have this revenge, and he had mercy on him, and he was allowed to kill him, because it's halacha. So what's the big deal? He cut his garment. And for this, he's going to get this punishment that he cannot get warmer. So the Gemara Chachamim tell us like this. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah tells us after Adam Rishon and Chava ate from the tree, they took a leaf. You speak English well? You know English well? You speak English?
Fast, yes.
A little bit.
How do you say a little bit in Farsi? So they first they cover themselves with a leaf of a fig tree. And then after HaKadosh Baruch Hu arrived, the Torah says they hid themselves in the tree. Hashem spoke to them. And after Hashem spoke to them, the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yasaim Kotnot. Vayal. Vayal Bishim. Yeah, Zershel. The Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made garment for Adam and Chava, and he dresses them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make them garment, and he had to dress them. Why? Based on the Zohar, the Ari says like this. The clothing that we wear is not because we wear clothing. Because the clothing gives us a special light. And that light is really what protects us. Protection is from the clothing. In Kabbalah it's called Or HaMakif, the surrounding light. And that's what Torah hints to you. Says the Gemara Meir Balanes in his house, in his Beit Knesset, lived in Tveria, he had the Sefer Torah, and there are, I don't remember exactly, but I think more than 10 differences in the text, in the Torah, the one we have, in time of Gemara. I think the first one, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember if it's the first one or not. But it says, Vayas, Lehem Kotnot, Or, Vayal Bishim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them garment from leather. In Rabbi Meir Balanes Torah, it says, Kotnot, Or, Be'alef, light. The garment of light. So by the way, that's what we say really in the morning, if we have time to say the Shem Yichud before we put the Talit. It says, Ote Or Kasalma. Ote Shamayim Kareya. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, he dressed Adam and Chava with a special garment. It wasn't a special garment. This was the garment of light. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he dressed them because when Hashem dressed them, then He put the light on them. So says the Gemara that the power of the clothing is a protection. The talit is very, very high protection. Very, very high. And it's called Imam Lechem. When somebody dies, they take the seat off his clothes, off his talit, and they cover him with the talit, and they bury him with the talit. This is, what is this? Well, he doesn't have to have the seat, because that person is not obligated to wear the seat. So why are you covering him with the talit? What's the custom? Because from the bad entities in his grave, also talit can protect you. If you have that kavona, that when you put the talit on, and you're very careful about the talit, and the talit is very nice, the Chachamim say, that's the reason. Talit is a tremendous protection, tremendous. As well, of course, as the Gemara says, the clothing of the person is protection. How is it protection? Because it's Hashem invented on the first Friday that He puts so-called His own light, Oteor Kasalma. Oteor Shamayim Kariya. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what He did is He made a new creation of protection, a shield. The shield is Kotnot Or Be'alev, says the Ari, says Rabbi Balanes. Hashem put so-called His light in the clothing. So actually, Chachamim say, when you wear clothing, he says you have to know that inside the clothing is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you wear clothing. It's not just because it's tzniut. The tzniut is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As Chachamim say, David HaMelech, with all the respect, and he was an innocent person, and he had all the right anything to do, but you cannot embarrass the clothing. What do you mean embarrass the clothing? Well, when you cut the garment, especially the Gemara says that when he cut the garment, he cut the corner of the garment. It means no more mitzvah tzitzit. And tzitzit, the mitzvah of tzitzit, is to restore and to have more light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's true he didn't do something bad. But it's likewise if you can say somebody wants to go and do something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly. It's like punching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inside the garment. And that's what Gemara says. That's what Navi says. David HaMelech, with all the respect, you had the right to save yourself, but you can't save yourself by so-called cutting a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You should have done something else. I don't know what. There's the water over there. There was water next to Shaul to wash his hands. You should have picked up the water, take the water. And you can take a shoe. But you can't cut a garment. You know, the Torah tells us a story that Yosef was... In Egypt, he was by Potiphar. The lady said, she said, I want to get married to you. And she touched his garment. The Torah tells us, Yosef left the garment and ran outside. Chachamim say, why did Yosef leave the garment with her? What? Run! I said, because after she touched it, it's not only doesn't have anymore the power of protection. Now the garment is against you. Because Hashem flew out when somebody wants to do a sin. That says the power of the clothing will not protect him anymore. Because Hashem is not even inside the clothing. And that, the Torah tells us, Hashem dressed Adam and Chava, put the light inside. And therefore David HaMelech, the same thing. The same thing happened to David HaMelech, is the clothing. And let's Chachamim say, that's what happened. What happened was, the Menashe, indirectly, it's true. He's doing his father's command, true. And he didn't know anything what's going to happen. But what you did was, you caused the brothers to tear the clothing. You should know, by tearing clothing, it means you tear the light of Hashem. You tear the light of Hashem, it's a major sin, like what happened to David the Melech. And therefore, the Gemara says, Menashe is going to, Menashe did such a thing, his tribe will suffer, and he will not have a peace in Eretz Israel. He says, what's the connection? We don't know yet. But at least we know already what the Gemara says, what is the problem tearing clothing. By the way, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Binyamin himself, that he was notified before by Yosef that the cup is in his bed. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Nutan brings it in his book. What's his book name? I don't know either. Rabbi Yotam is in his book that Yosef one day called Binyamin to his office and told Binyamin, I see on your face that you know how to look in the stars. Binyamin said, sure. I says, what? I heard that you had a brother who was lost. Binyamin said, yeah. Would you know where he is if you look in the stars? Binyamin said, I think he's in Egypt. He said, can you find him in Egypt? He said, yeah, he's in this palace here. So Yosef asked him, which room? He said, in this room. Must be you. And Yosef revealed himself to him and told him, yes, it's me. By the way, he says in Binyamin, tomorrow I'm going to put the cup in your bag and let's see what's going to happen with your brothers. So Binyamin knew the whole thing. The whole thing is just a show. The cup is in his bag, he won't say nothing. In the meantime, comes the Gemara and says, look, so when Menashe came and found the cup, the brother stole the clothing and says, who is involved in that thing? Gemara says, Menashe, of course, is the one, the so-called, that showed them the cup. I said, where the cup was found? Binyamin. Says the Gemara, now you know, you read Megillat Esther. And when the decree of Haman came, it says, Vayikra Mordechai tore his clothing. It says, Gemara, you know what? What does it say this in Megillat Esther? Because Mordechai is from Binyamin's tribe, Ishimini, and this is a punishment that Mordechai had to tear his clothing because his great-great-grandfather, Binyamin, indirectly caused also like Menashe to the brothers to tear the clothing. You might see he has sensitive clothing on. And it's because the letter of Kadosh Baruch was inside our clothing. As the Gemara says, you have to have a lot of respect for your clothing. Let's say somebody decided the clothing is not suitable anymore. You can't make a rag from the clothing to wash the floor. You can throw it in the garbage. But you can embarrass them. As the Gemara says, David embarrassed the clothing by cutting Shaul's corner garment. Yeah. So far we understand what is the problem with the clothing. Now comes the Gemara and says, since that Menashe indirectly caused that brother's tore the clothing as a punishment to him, his grandchildren will not get a piece of written necessary. Sechavim like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his mercy, told us the borders of Eretz Yisrael in just this parasha. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the parasha, you know, when they get to Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua and Elazar HaKohen will make a raffle. Every tribe, where is he going to get his territory exactly? I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. If you say the borders of Eretz Israel, tell me the borders of the tribes. You know the size. It says in the Torah. In the Torah it says the size of Eretz Israel. And I think Beersheba, a little bit after Beersheba, that's the furthest place. Now ask Abraham Kanipsi to go be Sandak after Beersheba, it doesn't go. I'm talking about Elat. For sure it's not Eretz Israel. So why did Hashem write in the Torah the borders of every tribe? He says, no, it's going to be a lotto. He said, it's going to be a lotto. And then the choshen, the stones that the Kohen Gadol has on his chest will shine and will say, oh, that's what it is. Over here, this tribe gets his property, territory, that place. You know, on the chest of the Kohen Gadol, they had 12 stones. Each stone per tribe. But each stone had different color. Why did every stone have to have a different color? Hashem wants the names of the Shvatim on the stones. Hashem could have taken just a diamond. You have 12 big diamonds. And on each diamond, you write a different name for tribe. I says, no. Each tribe had a different precious stone. So what's behind those tones? What's behind those colors? So one of the biggest tzaddikim, one of the Mekubalim, says like this, when Kadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he took, Zohar said, he took snow, whatever it means, from under his chair, and he made it as a ball. And this is universe. But, when Hashem, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take off your shoes. This is a holy place. It's not a holy place. Nothing was done yet. And even after Hashem will give the Torah, anybody can go on Har Sinai. So why Moshe had to take off the shoes? The same thing, an angel meets Yeshua, and when Yeshua is ready to capture Yeshua, angel comes over to him and tells him, listen, take off your shoe. Take off your shoe. Now what? What's over here now? It's not Har Sinai. So the Chachamim, the Mekubalim say what it means like this, even though Hashem took snow from under Kisek or whatever it means, because it's a spiritual thing, but the snow itself had few shades. And the holy places were made with better, shiny snow. So when you have Bet Knesset is running according to the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know that place was designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu before creation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu used on that spot better snow. This is something that has to do with the world upstairs. And as Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, take off your shoes, because this place is holy. It's not holy because it's going to be, the Torah is going to be. It's holy because of Kadosh Baruch Hu designated that place for something holy, so that place is holier than others. And whole Eretz Israel is like this. Eretz Israel is the center of light. It's not real estate in Eretz Israel. You go to Eretz Israel is holy because there's a special snow that Eretz Israel was made from. Outside of Israel, don't have it. Of course, Hashem is everywhere. But the Gemara says, listen, if you live outside of Israel, there is no Hashem over there. What means no Hashem? Of course, Hashem is everywhere. No. It means like this. The concentration of light is only in places Hashem designated originally. Mainly in Eretz Israel, and they were created from better, whiter snow. That's what the secret is. And then the Gemara says, I tell you, the Gemara says, that Shevet Shimon, when we got to Israel, they made the raffle, got no territory. Made the raffle, says, Yehuda, you get here. Zvulun, here. Sacha, here. Every tribe gets. I said, Shimon, nothing. The raffle showed nothing. And the stone didn't say nothing. Says the Gemara, you know what? Because what Shimon was involved 2 weeks ago, Parshat Balak, with all these non-Jewish girls, his stone doesn't shine. Fades. And that's the Gemara tells us, at the time of Yeshua, somebody took from the looting, so they made a raffle, a lotto, to see who is the guy. So they called the Kohen Gadol, was Elazar, called him, listen, stand over here, tell us, look on the stones. Which one doesn't shine so much? They said, Yehuda. I said, okay, it's from Shevet Yehuda, somebody from Shevet Yehuda he took from the looting. Every time that somebody makes something not 100%, so the stone of his tribe doesn't shine so much. That's a responsibility of every person. Can you imagine this guy, Achan, one person, he didn't do such a major thing. What did he do? He went and he took some looting, something, some piece of gold or something. Says. So Yeshua tells the Kohen, look at the stone. That's the stone of Judah is faded from Yeshua. There are more stories about this in the Gemara. It means the real estate in Eretz Israel is connected to the light of the stones. And the light of the stones is the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Chachamim say, what did you do, Menashe? You caused something to do with the light of Hashem. You know, the brothers, your uncle, tore the clothing, huh? They tore the clothing, you know what it means? They tore Hashem. Hashem is called not all. Let me tell you something. Your children will not be able to dwell in a place that is the light of Hashem. That's what the Gemara says. The light of Hashem is in the ground. You stay outside of Eretz Israel, there's no light. It's a very, very small light of Hashem, Chutzal Tzad Gemara. Gemara says, you want to compare it to the light of Eretz Israel, it means you live in Chutzal, you live in a place there's no Hashem. That's how. What do you mean there's no Hashem? Of course Hashem is... No, you don't understand. The creation started with the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first thing in the Torah. The Torah ends this six parasha with the same thing. It says, you know what? The heads of the families of Shevet Menashe came to Moshe. Moshe, they said, you know what the problem is? So what's the problem, Moshe? They said, we have 5 girls over here, they couldn't find a shidduch. They want to get married. They went on the internet. They go, oh, shidduchim. They going to get married to somebody else. So what, Moshe said, what's the problem? I said, you know what? I tell you what's the problem. We're going to get to Eretz Israel. We're going to cross Eretz Israel. A few weeks from now, we're going to cross Eretz Israel. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to make a raffle. You know what's going to make a raffle? They give each tribe a land. And that land is going to give where the light of this land matches the light of the Kohen HaGadol's Choshen. And you know what's going to happen? Right away, those girls are going to come. When we arrive over there, I says, hello. I say, yeah. Which Shevet you? Which tribe? I say, used to be Menashe. You got a territory for Menashe? This is a special light, Menashe. And these guys from a different tribe is not a light. It says, the light of Menashe will not shine all over. And it will match the light that the Kohen HaGadol has. So Moshe said, you know what? Ask Hashem. Hashem said, you're right. Eretz Israel is a light. But it only for this generation. When you come to Eretz Israel, you come to Israel, it's going to be a raffle. And you're going to be divided. Okay, later on, doesn't matter anymore because the light is here. When we divide, it's important that each tribe should have his own light because it has to match. Later on, the light stays. It doesn't matter if the guy comes over here. Maybe he's going to get a green card. He's not a citizen here because his light, if he's from a different tribe, his light cannot come here. But when we come to Israel on the first time, it's going to be a raffle. It says it has to match. And that's when they came to Moshe and said, listen, you can't let them happen. The girl should get married to anybody. So they don't know about the Tirza. It says, nah, listen, they got to marry into their tribe in order to keep the light of their land connect to the light of the stone in the Choshen. That's why the Torah ends with that story to tell us you're going to Israel and say you should know Israel is a very sensitive thing. It's the light of Hashem. That's what Ramban says. Hashem punished Sodom and Amorah and turned them upside down. So what kind of punishment is this? Ramban says, I tell you, you know what punishment is? Because that's what it is. In Eretz Israel, you have to be more careful than you're outside. This is the palace of Hashem. This is the light of Hashem. Hashem created this world because of Eretz Israel. It says, Torah, Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba. The eyes of Hashem from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, only in Eretz Israel. Because that is the center of light. A person has to have a desire to be under the light of Hashem. And that's just one of the kavanot, the person puts talit. He wants to have the light of Kadosh Baruch Hu as a protection. Eretz Israel is a protection. The light of Kadosh Baruch Hu is protection. The clothing are protection. And it says the Sefer, the Torah, says God Mivilna, ends with this parasha, huh? As if you go all the way back. The Torah is like a ball. Around thing, 360 degrees, you go back to creation. The first creation was light. It says, looking for all Hadash HaTzion Ta'im. Hashem said, the Nabi said, Hashem is going to have a new light in the Beit HaMikdash. Amen.